This is
the first time this season that Midland has been shut out in the year.
Your Concordia Sports Leader winning 102-82. Hoopski brought to you by the Sower. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Wyatt Kuby. Alongside my partner is Eric Cumley. We had a pretty decent weekend this past week.
Right? Yeah, we did. I mean, first of all, I'd like to say welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back. It makes everything a lot easier for me.
Oh, I bet. But over the phone was a little difficult.
Yes, it was. But we had a good weekend. Yeah, I mean, we had some really good wins, and then we had a tie there, so that was rough. But other than that, it was pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Let's just kick it off right away. We'll start with football. As a reminder, they had a bye week last week. And we play Morningside this Saturday. It is senior night, last home game of the season. And a little bit of a twist. Apparently, NAIA has granted immunity for all football players.
All winter and fall athletes, actually.
Oh, that's even better. For all winter and sports athletes. So this year technically does not count. So the seniors could potentially stay for another year.
Could you imagine if we didn't graduate anybody for our football team? And like, we're doing good this year, but with even more chemistry next year, oh my.
I know, and that means Lane Napier would be here for a fifth year.
Yep.
Woo, baby. Yeah, so that's a big twist throughout all of the fall and winter sport athletes right there for you.
Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, I don't know how many are going to actually decide to stay, but you know, if most of them do, their teams are going to be great next year.
Oh, exactly. Let's hope that'll be an advantage to us.
But in other words, they play Morningside this Saturday at 1 p.m. That is a home game, like Kuby said. It's senior night, so show up and show out.
Speaking of showing up, volleyball did pretty well against Doan. One, and according to people that I've talked to, it was a nail biter.
Yeah, we finished it in three sets, 25-22, 25-23, 25-23. But those are very close games. I mean, the stats for all of those, Concordia had 40 kills, Doan had 36. Doan actually beat us in digs with 64, and we had 61. And then we had six blocks, and Doan had three. So they're right there with us. It was a very close and hard-fought game for us to get the wins. That actually helps and gives us even more confidence in the future, knowing that we can finish those hard-fought games.
Exactly. And doing that three straight sets in a row, pulling out the victory to go 3-0 in the match itself, that's telling you how hard our girls work every single day in practice and in games.
Yeah, Tara Callahan is the GPAC mid-setter of the week. And she finished with 35 assists, 9 digs, and 2 aces. So well-deserved for that setter of the week.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And with the win, the women's volleyball team goes to 12-3 overall, also 12-3 in GPAC, because we're just playing GPAC teams this year because of this whole pandemic situation. And unfortunate news as well, the Hastings game that was set for November 3rd has been postponed, and there is no update on when that game is going to be rescheduled.
Yeah, that one sucks to be postponed.
Yeah, it just sucks. It's very disappointing, and the fact that we don't have any news on whether it's going to be rescheduled or not.
Well, it's their last game, too. So, yeah. I mean, it's in the back of your mind, like, are they going to reschedule it? I mean, it's the last game before we go, and, like, how important actually is it?
Exactly.
So that depends on what they're thinking.
Yeah, so hopefully they can get it done. I just want to point out, our volleyball team has gone on a 5-game winning streak after losing to Dakota Wesleyan and Jamestown back-to-back. What a statement. What an answer right there.
Yeah, and before those two losses, they were on, I think, like another 5-game win streak or something.
Two-game
win streak.
Before they lost to Northwestern in midseason, they were rolling. They were cruising on a 5-game winning streak, started off 5-0, then lost to Northwestern, and bounced back from that, going two straight wins against Mount Marty, and then dropping those two losses to Jamestown and Dakota Wesleyan, and then bouncing back and hitting that 5-game winning streak.
Yeah, they're going on long win streaks, so I mean, they're making statements after their losses.
Oh, yeah.
So they know how to pick it back up. But speaking of win streaks, Concordia women's soccer 4-game win streak kind of came to a halt yesterday with a tie against Midland University.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. We had a 2-0 lead at half, thinking we had the control of the ball, and apparently our defense got too cocky and let up two goals.
Yeah, I mean, we came out very strong. Midland is a national qualifier last year, so they are a very good team. But we came out very strong in the about the 30-minute mark with Michaela Martinez scoring both the goals. She actually, one of her goals was a penalty kick. At half, Midland came out very strong. Midland scored their first goal of the night at the 57th minute mark. They just came out tougher in the second half. They came out to play.
Yeah, and it sure looks like it because their shot totals for the game were 12-7 in favor of Midland. Shots on goal, 8-5 in favor of Midland. Midland said they weren't going down without a fight. It really proved that they weren't going to go down.
You know, it's heartbreaking when you're winning 2-1, and then literally in the 89th minute, there is 1 minute left in the game, and you just allow a goal to go into overtime. I mean, that just sucks, but...
It does suck. It's like giving up the game-winning field goal or the game-tying touchdown or something
the
bad.
The three-point shot at the end.
You know, it's those type of plays that just are heartbreaking for you. You know?
Yeah, and in overtime, we couldn't get anything done. There was one shot total for both teams combined in overtime. That was taken by Midland. That was saved by Lindsay Carley, who had 6 saves on the night. But our offense just couldn't get rolling in the second half and in overtime.
It sure didn't look like it. But hopefully they can bounce back against their game this Saturday, November 8th, at Presentation College. That is a Sunday game at 12 p.m.
Yeah, so hopefully it should be a good one, but... It's a tough tie. Not a loss, but a tie.
I was talking with a soccer teammate, and she was telling me that they needed to win this game to be outright, you know, number one seed going into the GPAC tournament. With this tie, they have to win their next 2 games and hopefully have 2 other teams, I don't remember what teams, lose in order for them to have that number one spot going into the tournament.
Yeah, so it's just going to make a lot harder for them now to just get that number one spot. They're a very good team, but...
They just made it
a lot more difficult for them.
Exactly. Speaking of good teams, we got men's soccer on the other side. They pulled out a nice victory over Midland, winning that one 1-0 at Midland. So a nail-biter game, but a win nonetheless.
It was a very close win. I mean, like you said, it was a 1-0 win. So that's a great team win for the men's. Matt Schultz scored that game-winning goal in the 41st minute. But not only that, our defense... really stepped up in that game. Matt Schultz also helped Federico Andrea Simonetti with 5 saves, and that's another clean sheet for him. That's the 4th one of the season for a shutout, and I'm going to add this. This is the first time this season that Midland has been shut out on the year.
That is impressive. That's talk about great defense right there. I also want to point out, both teams had 8 shots. Like, both Concordia and Midland had 8 shots. That tells you how close of a game this was. Only Midland had 1 more shot on goal with 5. Concordia had 4. So that is probably one of the games that I wish I was there to watch, because it sounds like it was a great game.
It was a very close match. Like you said, 8 shots. That's neck and neck. The attacking was on for both teams, but our defense really stepped up in this game, and they got us the win.
They definitely did. So congratulations to them. The men's play someone different. The men's play Morningside November 11th at Morningside. That game will be at 8 p.m. And keeping in the theme of men's sports, we move on to men's basketball, as they had a 2-game tournament this past weekend playing Tabor College and Friends University. They unfortunately lost to Tabor College 69-72. But bounced back the next day, winning 102-82 against Friends.
Their first win is a 100-point game. That's great for them. Last year, they didn't have too many of those. They only had 200-point mark games last year. That was against Peru State and Jamestown. But in their second game coming in to bounce back from Tabor's College and score 100 points, not just 100 points, but to make a statement, winning by double digits against Friends University. That's great for them.
That is really good. Against Tabor College, our Justin Wiersma led the Bulldogs in total points, scoring 16 of them. Carter Kent still was on fire, getting 10 points for the Bulldogs, but obviously not the good showing out that they wanted, only scoring
69 points.
But, you know, to bounce back and score 102, I say that's pretty good.
Yeah, in the next game against Friends University, Justin Wiersma scored 22 points, and Carter Kent also scored 22 points.
I think we found our next duo.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. Honestly, that's pretty impressive right there.
Clay also scored 19 points, and he fed Carter Kent a bunch. He assisted him a lot. So, I mean, maybe not just a duo, maybe a trio. I mean, he's not far behind them.
But also, losing the seniors that we lost last year, and for Justin to be able to step up as a junior and be the next man up in scoring, says a lot to our basketball program, you know, moving forward. Because, you know, we weren't that good in past years, but all of a sudden last year we hit a spark and we went off. Our men's team won GPAC tournament for the first time since 2005 last year. That's huge. That's 15 years of no GPAC title. And then last year you go and win GPAC title with this group. And now they're stepping up with Justin, as I said, and Clay, who's also a junior. These two guys are definitely filling roles that are going to be missed in years to come.
Yeah, they're definitely helping out Carter Kent, as we all know his name from last year and him getting a lot of the spotlight.
Even his freshman year. Carter Kent went off his freshman year, and he's basically the star of the Bulldogs team. Like, you have to guard him, otherwise he's going to make you pay. But with the addition to Justin and Clay, we now know there are different options you can go to and still create points and still create plays. So this team is on the rise, and I honestly look for a second GPAC championship in a row.
Oh, especially with their second game scoring 100 points. These three did outstanding. They were passing the ball and moving the ball wonderful.
They definitely were, and it'll be fun to watch this season. They are in the Cattle Classic this week facing Amos Bible College, November 6th. That tip-off will be at 8 p.m. And then November 7th, they play Manhattan Christian College, and that is at 4 p.m.
Yeah, speaking of the Cattle Classic, there's a little bit of a change there. The women's game that was set for Friday, November 6th, has been moved to Thursday, November 5th. The women's basketball team will face Dakota State University at 7 p.m. now on Thursday, November 5th. Their second game will still be Saturday, November 7th at 2 p.m. against Carroll College. Just a little schedule change there, but our women's, this will be the first time they play this year, and I think a lot of people are expecting them to continue what they did last year. Even though we graduated a lot of seniors, we still have a lot of talent on the team, and I think they're very ready and want to make a statement showing that they're still as dominant as they are in the past.
Exactly, and we also get back Taylor Cockerell. She's coming back after an injury last year that sidelined her, unfortunately, but you know, that's a great addition. Another guard who is a great athlete on the court, can score you points, can play defense, and can get girls open with her passing. You know,
yeah, so I mean,
this is another great addition to what is already a stacked roster.
Yeah, we may have lost Philly Lammers and Grace Berry, but those weren't the only stars on the team. We got Taylor coming back from an injury from last year, who was supposed to have a great season last year, but had a tragic knee injury. But she's coming back this year, and she'll definitely open up and help the women's out.
Oh, yeah, and Rebecca Higgins is also a returner. She came off the bench last year and did some great things, so expect her to show out this season as she continues to go forward. And Mackenzie Kopeek, who also would come off the bench and score points and make plays. So, again, even if we lose seniors, we have talent throughout this entire bench, really.
Yeah, we had some players last year, like you said, Mackenzie and Taylor, the year before, who came off the bench and made some great plays. But this year they're stepping up into the starting role, so they're going to get more opportunities and more time to make those plays. And I think we're going to be fine.
I do too. Yeah, so I can't wait for that to go into full swing as the season progresses. Eric, I got a question for you. What is your favorite sport of all time that you absolutely love?
I love watching wrestling, aside from football. Football is what I play, and it's amazing and everything, but I just love watching wrestling. And
we got wrestling news for you, buddy. Here you go. Kick it off. You know what you're doing.
It's finally wrestling season, and, you know, the Bulldogs did not come out as strong as what we wanted to against York College. We had a disappointing loss that ended up 30-19 against York College. But if you look at our lineup, there's 10 weight classes. Six of our weight classes were freshmen making their first career start.
it makes sense. As a coach, it's your first ever meet. It's against York College, who isn't very good. And you want to showcase your talent, your recruiting class, your freshmen out on the mat today. See what they can do and see what you can prepare them in the future. Because GPAC is a tough, tough conference. I see what he did there. I know what he's doing. Hopefully they all can learn from this, you know, pick and choose their battles.
Yeah, I mean, I see exactly what he's doing, but I'm just saying, 6 out of 10 freshmen starting, I don't know what you're trying to get out of there for what you're expecting there. I mean, they're freshmen. They've never been in a college match before, so to expect them to be like DeAndre Cherry and Tanner Farmer from last year, I mean, it's just not going to happen. You got to give them time to grow, and getting them this experience against York College, I think, is great for them.
I think another reason is we were not able to have inter-squad scrimmage because of the whole COVID thing. Like, there was no, like, for us, for football, there was no blue and white scrimmage on the roster. And there's no wrestling match, inter-squad match that I can tell, you know. And yes, they do a lot of practice, but it's a completely different.
Yeah,
it's not the same. So I think with that, I think that was another adjustment he had to make. He, as in Coach Levi Calhoun, had to make that decision. And honestly, I'm not saying it's a bad decision. Like, I go for it. See what you have and make your adjustments from there. I think it's still disappointing against a York College team that isn't really good. Apparently, I could be wrong. York College could be great this year, for all I know.
York College has really stepped it up this year. I know they have a potential 4-time national qualifier who actually wrestled Mario Wybara at 133. That match went into 4 overtimes.
Holy cow, that's a good one.
Nobody scored a takedown throughout the entire match except the last overtime. Going into overtime, it was 2-2 through escapes. The first overtime, nobody scored. Then, you know, wrestling overtimes is completely different. Second overtime, one goes on bottom. And then third overtime, the other guy goes on bottom. And then fourth overtime, Mario went in on a shot again, had the shot close, and then it was just some funky stuff that happened, and he reversed the takedown and took Mario down for the win that ended up being 4-2. But other than that, freshman Timothy Huber won his first match of his collegiate career, 7-3. We also had 2 other freshmen win.
Oh, I'm a timeout before you do the other 2 freshmen. 7-3?
Yeah.
That's promising right there. We might have to, like, keep an eye on him, man. Like, that's a good win, 7-3 right there.
Yeah, freshman Mason Garcia and Jacob Tells also won their matches. You thought that was impressive. These guys did better.
Really?
Mason Garcia won his with a pin in the second period.
Ooh, there you go.
And Jacob Tells won his 9-3.
Oh, my goodness. We got a good talent of freshmen coming in.
Yeah, so, I mean, half of our freshmen that started got their wins, but it was a great showing for them. I mean, obviously, senior Gabe Crawford came out strong and got a pin first period.
Yeah, that's kind of expected. He's a stud.
Yep. But as for the duel, I mean, it's a tough loss. But you learn from it. You're getting the freshman experience, which is the best thing. And it's the very beginning of the season. And with the 3 freshmen that won and the 6 total, they're very good. They have a lot of room to improve within by the end of the season, and I think that we're just going to be just fine.
I do, too. Do you love a revenge story? You know, one of those.
The classic, you know, you lose, and then you come back, train, and just win.
Exactly. Yeah. We had one in the York College Open. Am I right?
Oh, yes. You know how I was just talking about Mario Wybara losing in 4 overtimes? He actually he won against the same opponent in the York College Open. The next day, actually. It's kind of crazy.
There you go. Way to bounce back and get your revenge.
This time, Wybara won 3-2.
There you go. That's how you pull it off. Concordia, in that tournament, had a total of 31 individual wins. 18 of those were pins. I say we'd bounce back pretty well in that tournament.
You know, we had one champion. That was Mario Wybara. He won all 5 of his matches and won the tournament. But not only that, Gabe Crawford took 2nd, I believe. So, I mean, he had a very close match in the finals. So that next day, we really stepped it up and the effort was a lot better and just we wrestled a lot better. I think
sounds like it.
They were more nervous than excited. And that you just got to get the nerves out and you're like, okay, I'm here. I'm here to stay. I can handle this.
Exactly. Once you get your feet wet, you're ready to go. And that's exactly what they did. So congratulations to them. Honestly, I hope for another GPAC championship on the rise for our wrestling team. And speaking of GPAC championships, both men and women's cross country team will be running for the GPAC championship November 7th at Yankton, South Dakota. That will start at 10:45 a.m. And our cross country team has a shot to win GPAC in this tournament for the second year in a row for women's and probably for the first time in a while for our men's.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last year they really picked it up towards the end of the season, and they're continuing their streak from how they were doing earlier this season. So, I mean, we're just showing that we don't slow down, like literally on the track and in the season.
Exactly. And in cross country, it's on the grass that's the terrain. But some of these athletes will go into the track and field situation that's coming up here in a month, really. December 3rd is the first meet at Walls Arena. We're looking really good all around, and I hope we can pull it out, you know?
Yeah, it should be very good. I mean, Camden Cessna has been running great this year, so we'll look to him to continue and lead our Bulldogs for a victory.
Exactly. And Kaylin Heritage also stepping up her game after being a great freshman last year. She's now an even better sophomore this year. And guess what? This goes out to the recruiting class that Coach Beisel has done for this team, because we have a freshman runner, Riley Haker, stepping up big time for our girls on our girls' side. That's telling you we got some really good athletes coming in as well as staying in our program.
Yeah, I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, again, just good luck to those that are going to be running in the GPAC.
Let's get another dub. Yeah. Let's get it. Anyways, that's all we got time for. Thank you all for joining us here today. If you want to email us at cunekoopski@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram at cunekoopski. Check us out on Twitter, because we have a Twitter.
At Koopski.
Yep, at Koopski. And yeah, that's all we got for you. Thanks for tuning in. See y'all next week.
Bye. You see, I keep a cage, but I can't control it. So stay away from me. The beast is ugly. I feel the rage and I just can't hold it. It's scratching on the wall, in the closet, in the halls. It comes awake and I can't control it.